Mark chapter number 2. Start reading in verse number 1. I'll read down about 12 verses. And look at what it says in verse number 1 of chapter number 2 of the book of Mark. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. That means four of a kind beats a full house. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there was certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk.' But that he might know, or ye might know, that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed and walk," or excuse me, "take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house." And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth, insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning, allowing us to be here. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us for the next few minutes. And Lord, I'll thank you for all that you do for us. Bless our day today. We do this, and one of my favorite days of all the years is to do old-fashioned day. And Lord, I enjoy singing, and I enjoy preaching. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us today. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Did you notice what they said? When they heard him and they heard him preach and they saw him heal the sick of the palsy, and they said, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk." And then at the end they said, "We have never seen it on this fashion." And then one place over there, I think it's the book of Mark or John chapter number 7, they said, "We have never a man spake like this man." And so what I perceive that they are saying is that he is the best they'd ever seen. Michael Jordan played for the University of North Carolina in 1984. He joined the Chicago Bulls and he quickly emerged in the league of his. And everybody entertaining the crowds and jumping from the free throw line and soaring through the air and dunking the ball from the free throw line. And he attained the name Air Jordan. And boy, he would score all of those points. And when he come on the scene, all the commentators, and when they was when he, at the peak of his basketball career, this is what they would say: "He is the best we've ever seen." But here in Mark chapter number 2, and all through the Bible, this is the same thing they were saying. Now, whether you like Michael Jordan or not makes no difference to me. I'm just using that as an illustration. But what I can say here this morning, when you look at Jesus Christ, he is the best you've ever seen. He is the best. There is no other appraisal that can be made. The disciples said, "He's the best we have ever seen." The book of Ephesians tells us, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." What I'd like for to do to this next few minutes is to borrow your imagination and take you into the heavenly courtroom. In this courtroom, you will see that this court is about to be in session. This court has a judge. It is Almighty God sitting on the bench of heaven. And you see, there in heaven, we have several spectators. A lot of us here are spectators in this courtroom. We see justice as the prosecuting attorney and mercy as the attorney for the defense. Jesus is the defendant, and the Holy Ghost is the court clerk. Michael the archangel is the bailiff. And there are 12 jurymen. Faith, hope, love, and salvation is sitting in the jury box. Redemption, repentance, regeneration, and sanctification is sitting in the jury box. Truth, holiness, peace, and goodness is sitting in the jury box. And they are about to listen to the evidence against Jesus Christ to see if he is who he really says he is. Some witnesses have been summoned to this court to give testimony. The judge calls the court to order. And he says, "Justice, call your first witness." And the first witness I'd like to call is natural law. Natural law, you come and you raise your right hand. You solemnly swear, testimony you're about to give in this matter, be the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. He says, "I sure do." He said, "Take the seat." The court says, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is natural law." He says, "What is your job?" He says, "Well, I'm the watchman in the order of things. I make sure that everything runs decently in an orderly fashion. It's my job to make sure the four seasons come around every year. Spring comes in March, summer comes in June, fall comes in September, and winter comes in December. I make sure the flowers bloom and the showers fall and the wind blow and the sun will shine." And he says, "It's because of me that a brown cow can eat green grass and produce white milk and churn yeller butter." He says, "I am natural law." Mercy says, "Well, what were some of your other laws?" He said, "Well, I have the law of gravitation. That means what goes up must come down. I make sure the planets rotate around the sun without running into each other." He says, "Well, do you have any other laws?" He said, "Well, I have a law of reproduction." "Why, yes. Explain the law of reproduction." "Well, before man can reproduce himself, there has to be a union between a man and a woman. And that is the only way it works. The man brings about 23 chromosomes, and then the woman brings about 23 chromosomes. And after 9 months, a baby will come forth because of the law of reproduction." Mercy says, "Well, has there ever been a time when anybody has violated the law of reproduction?" "Oh, no. Nobody's ever violated my law." The prosecutor said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Oh, yes." He said, "You remember, you're under oath." He said, "Well, I was one time." He said, "I don't like to talk about it, though." He said, "Well, you're going to have to talk about it today because you're under oath. Has there ever been a time where man has overthrown the law of reproduction?" He said, "Well, there was this one time, and it all started back in the book of Genesis in the Garden of Eden when man fell and sin entered into the garden. God has designed a plan to bring man into the world without going through the law of reproduction." And so this man named Jesus, he volunteers to go down to be the lamb slain to take away the sins of the whole world. So the only way Jesus could come to this earth and be born without being a sinner like the rest of us was to come through the virgin womb of Mary. And Mary brought her chromosomes into the picture. And they said, well, where did the father chromosomes come from if there was only a one woman involved? He said, well, the Holy Spirit of God brought the other chromosomes and put it with the Virgin Mary's chromosomes. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger. And the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. He said, I believed I saw one of the angels walk over, formed him a little pulpit, and said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. They said, natural law, have you got a synopsis about this man named Jesus? Natural law says, I sure do. He's the best I've ever seen. Call your next witness. The next witness, Father Time. Time, would you please come up and take the witness stand? What is your name, sir? He says, my name is Time. Father Time. He said, what do you do? He says, well, I'm the tick-tock of the universe. I had my beginnings at the sayings of God. When God said, let there be, I started ticking. And I've been talking ever since. He said, I was there when the morning started. I was there when God put the sun in outer space. I was there when God struck the anvil of his will and sparks flew everywhere and made the stars also. I was there when he put the Milky Way on dress display. Mercy says, well, can you tell me about this fellow called Jesus Christ? He said, oh yeah, I know him. It's true. Everything natural law said is true. He was born contrary to all laws. He lived in poverty, had no place to lay his head. In infancy, he startled kings. In boyhood, he confounded the doctors and the lawyers. Lived in poverty. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked on water. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He who was infinite became an infant. Back before time started, he laid on the bosom of his father without a mama. In time, he laid on the bosom of his mama without a papa. Hallelujah. He was born. When he was born, he was older than his mama and just as old as his father. Now, some of y'all not helping me. He was 100% God and 100% man. He was the Ancient of Days. Father Time says, I saw him. I saw him when both natures were there. And the God-man and the fleshly side of him. He said, I was there when he laid asleep in the bottom of the ship. And the winds were contrary and coming inside the boat. Father Time said, I was there when I saw his motherly nature on laying on the cot. But he said, then I saw his deity when he walked to the veil of the ship and said, peace be still. And the winds and the waves obeyed his voice. Father Time said, I remember when he stood at the tomb of Lazarus, tears coming down his face on his mama's side. But on his daddy's side, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. Mercy says, has he ever done anything to you? He said, he sure has. He says, I used to be complete and whole until he showed up. You have to understand, when he showed up, I got divided. Everything before him was B.C. Everything after him was A.D. He said, that's why I don't look like I used to, because I used to be complete and whole. But ever since then, ever since he showed up, ever since anybody that writes a check and puts the date 2015 in the year of our Lord is proclaiming that Jesus Christ was born. Mercy said, how do, Father Time, how do you describe him today? Father Time says, he's the best I've ever seen. Call your next witness. They call the next witness. Mr. Death, would you please come forward? Death, would you take the witness stand? Mr. Death, what is your job? He said, well, I'm the hound dog of the universe. From the time man is born, I start tracking him. And when I catch up to him, I put my stinger into him and suck the life right out of him. Everybody I track, I get them. I've never missed anybody. One man named Methuselah, he run from me for 969 years, and I finally got him. Mercy said, are you sure you got everybody? He said, oh, yes. Nobody has ever slipped through my fingers. Now, Death, you are under oath. He said, well, there was a couple of times. One of them, named Enoch, he just outwalked me. And he was outwalking with the judge. And he got so close to the judge's house that right before I got to pounce on him, he just stepped from time over into eternity, and I missed him. He said, then there was that other time when I got after a fellow by the name of Elijah. And Enoch just outwalked me. But Elijah outrode me. And he said, by the time I'm fixing to get my hands on him, he said he walked across the Jordan and there was chariots of fire waiting on the other side to pick him up and carry him off. I reached out to get him and just couldn't get him. But I just want you to know my name is still Death, and I get everybody that I come after. Mercy said, well, do you know a fellow by the name of Jesus? Mr. Death said, I don't want to talk about him. Oh, yes, you got to talk about him today because he is the subject of this courtroom setting. Do you know who he is? Oh, yeah, I know who he is. I started after him right after he was born. I had King Herod kill all the little baby boys 2 years and under, and I almost had my stinger in him, and he slipped through my hands. I tried to get him one time when he was asleep in the bottom of a boat, and I had the winds and the waves helping me. And then Peter woke him up. If he'd have just kept him asleep, but he woke him up and he walked to the veil of the ship. And you understand the winds and the waves were working for me. But he created them and they started listening to him. And by the time I got to pounce on him, the winds and the waves ceased. One day, I was dispatched to a hill called Calvary. And there on Calvary's hill, I saw him hanging there. His back was torn apart. His mother did not even recognize him. He had nails in his hands and in his feet, and most of the job was already done. And then I went up to him and I was going to put my stinger in. And he looked over at me and said, hold on a minute. Mr. Death said, I've never had anybody tell me to hold on a minute. He said, I sting them when I get ready. But him, I had to wait on him to tell me when he was ready to die. And he said, finally, he gave up the ghost, and I put my stinger in him. And we wrestled, and we fought, and we rolled around for 3 days and 3 nights. And I finally got tired. And I said, man, this man right here ain't going down without a fight. And he said, I thought I had him. I thought I had him Wednesday. I thought I had him Thursday. I thought I had him Friday. I thought I had him Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he took my stinger away from me, and he walked out of that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Up from the grave he arose, triumphant for his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Christ Jesus arose. Death said, ever since he come along and took my stinger away, he says, I just ain't what I used to be. He said, people used to be scared when I'd walk into their room. He said, now if I walk into a room that believe on him, they got a smile on their face. They not scared anymore. He done something to me. When he took my stinger, I used to walk into a room and people would scatter like ants because they're scared of Mr. Death. But he said, now, if you walk into a room of a Christian, he said, sometime they'll start off a singing. Well, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. He said, sometime they'll break out into song. It makes me so mad. He said, I want to sting them so bad, but he took my stinger and I can't sting them anymore. He said, well, what is your synopsis of this man named Jesus? He said, well, I have to say today, he's the best I've ever seen. They said, call one more witness. And he said, well, Mr. Grave, would you please come to the stand? Mr. Grave, what is your name? He said, well, my name is Grave. I'm the landlord of the universe. Everybody death brings me, I hold them. And when he stings them, and he brings them to me, and I put them in the grave, and I hold them. He said, I've held some big names before. I've held some little names before. It didn't matter who they were. I hold them. They didn't get away. They said, well now, has there ever been anybody that's ever got away from you? Now think about it. He said, well, death brought me this one man named Jesus. And I put him in the tomb, and I heard through the grapevine we was going to have trouble out of this man. And I knew that death, well, him and they were down in the bottom of the earth, in the middle of the earth, fighting and carrying on and stinging one another. And I knew we was going to have some trouble. So I rolled a stone over the door. And then I told some soldiers to get by the stone there and don't let anybody get out. And they said, well, Mr. Grave, what happened then? He said, well, the funny thing was, everything was all right on Wednesday. Everything was all right on Thursday. Everything was all right on Friday. Everything was all right on Saturday. He said, early Sunday morning, man, the earth started shaking. And he said, what we didn't realize is that we tried to hold the rock in a rock. And we tried to put the rock of ages, and we should have rethought the thing. Because we tried to put the rock of ages on the inside of a rock and seal him up with a rock. But he said early on Sunday morning, the rock rolled down the side of the hill and the rock of ages walked out on resurrection ground and give me just a slight salute and headed on out of this world. And then all of a sudden I saw two men in white apparel. They said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? For he's not here, he's risen," just like he said. Mr. Graves said, "Boy, that made me mad, because I like to hold them, and I don't like nobody getting away from me." I said, "Well, what is your synopsis today about this man named Jesus?" Mr. Graves said, "He's the best I've ever seen." I can take the stand today. You could take the stand. If we went around this room, you could take the stand. And if they ask me to tell a time that I was born, I would say that I was born in 1973. And my mama had to tell me all about it. But when I was a 10-year-old boy, I got born again. And I told mama all about it. Somebody say amen. You say, "Preacher, what is your synopsis of him today?" He is the best I've ever seen. In Revelation chapter 5, I'm quitting. Revelation chapter 5, they looked all through heaven looking for somebody to open the seven sealed book. They looked in heaven. They looked in the earth. They looked everywhere. They could not find anybody to open the seven sealed book. John bowed his head and began to weep and cry. All of a sudden, John looked up through tear-stained eyes and he saw a lamb. And that lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. And they say, "This is him. This is he that is able and capable of opening the seven sealed book." If we could have John on the Isle of Patmos, we could have him take the stand today. He would say in his own words, "He is the best I've ever seen." I say here today, old-fashioned day, it don't make any difference. Listen, you say, "What makes your religion better than everybody else's?" He's the best I've ever seen. Nobody has ever defied all laws. Nobody has ever made death scratch their head like he did. Nobody has ever turned the grave upside down and body slammed him on top of his own head. Nobody, no religion, and Muhammad and anybody else you won't think of, Confucius and Buddha and all of them, still in the grave. Death has still got them. A grave is still holding them. But there's one here this morning. He lives in my heart. He's the best I've ever seen. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you and for me. And if you don't know him today, you won't find any better than him. Trust him today in Jesus' name.